It's always a little strange for me. I don't prepare talks, so in a certain sense, we always listen to the talk together to see, hopefully, if we're reaching, you know, all parts of the room. But when we see a number of newer people in here, I always feel somewhat obligated to try to offer a few words of encouragement. And the encouragement at this point is, how do you survive this talk? One of the things that you can do is you move quietly and carefully. You don't have to stay rigidly fixed in one position. Just be conscious of the people around you. And, you know, so torture, or how much torture you can endure. See, that isn't the practice of Buddha Dharma. Buddha Dharma is a most amazing practice, and it's seldom understood in the correct way. We think, in terms, generally speaking, of some sort of a rigid form of religion. I don't think of Buddha Dharma as religion. I think of it as a spiritual practice, and a spiritual practice that each one of us has the responsibility for engaging into. And what do I mean by that? If you are experiencing some dissatisfaction in your life, if you have lived in a sufficiently sensitive way, you have to realize that the environment around you, that the world you live in, is in a lot of trouble. And see, that world that you live in is in fact you. See? Even people who don't do sitting or zazen should be able to understand that what you're experiencing is your experience. I mean, that's just a given. See, somebody else isn't experiencing your life. You're experiencing your life. If you're experiencing people living on the street, families, homeless, that's what you're experiencing. That experience is you. And I'll get this out of the way so that the other people won't moan when I bring this up again. But I'll bring up what the scientists have said now. Again, you can go up to check out Stanford and their neurophysiology department there. And the way we perceive, and the way you're perceiving right now, but the way, wherever you're at, your perception. See, you're seeing an old monk here. You're seeing folks all around here. See, and you think that you're having an experience out in front of you at a distance and that there's separation. See, the scientists there say, no, 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 no. See, that's wrong. That's an illusion. What you're experiencing, and this is also true for feeling your knees, your back, your butt, see, for what you're hearing, see, what you're seeing right now is being processed off the visual cortex of your brain. See, so everything you hear, everything you feel, it's being processed someplace in between your ears and behind your eyes. So now, when I say that this is all just you, your experience, hopefully that'll bring it a little closer. This is all going on in your head. And then what you do is you talk to yourself about what you're experiencing in your head. See? And it has no real reality, with what's actually going on out here, because nobody knows for sure what's going on out here. The scientists said that. They say, we're not saying that there isn't something out there. But what we're sure of is it's not at all the way we think. The way you think, it's ego-driven, it's dualistic. You experience yourself as separate from the environment you're in. See? Now, if you listen to that, and if the words were clear enough, you get it. The experience that you're having and what you're seeing is going on in your head right now. But somehow or another, and they'll say the brain, it plays a game. It can project. It makes you think that you're experiencing something out here, and what you're experiencing out here is you're separate from it. See, but the truth of the matter is, if what they said is true, see, then this is all one world inside your head. It's an illusion of separation. And that sense of separation in Buddha Dharma is called ignorance. See, and we have the three grave poisons. Greed, anger, and ignorance. And ignorance is the granddaddy. See, that's experiencing yourself as separate. The moment you do that, see, then the egocentric self tries to make you safe. Consequently, it gives rise to greed. See, the greed gives rise to anger. See, out of all of those things come fear and anxiety, insensitivity. You now have the world of samsara. This may be a little bit of a rush for some of the new people, but some of you might catch it and begin to think, wait a minute, there might be something here. I haven't said anything about Buddha Dharma at this point. I'm talking about what the scientists are looking at and the conclusions that can logically be drawn from that. And so long as you're caught in that dualistic view of life, you're doomed to ultimately suffer. Because the life that you're holding on to, that you cherish so deeply, is impermanent, it's changing continuously. Right as you sit here, right now, at the cellular level and beyond, into the molecules, into the atoms, it is a process of movement. That's what you are. See? We can call this empty, meaning it isn't fixed. There is no fixed entity there. Although you believe you're there, you feel that you're solid. See, there you've proven it to me. No, no. You simply have demonstrated that when we're trapped in the senses, this is how we experience the environment around us. See, but it doesn't mean that it's valid. See, it's delusional. Because your body is in the process, all of us, from the point of birth. See, we're in a process of decay. We say, well, I see the children going. But the child, see, is heading toward the end. It's a very clear-cut thing. If you think in terms of a wave rising up in the ocean, the wave, if you're surfers, you see, is coasting. Yeah, we got a surfer here, see? She'll sit out there on the board and she scans the horizon, see, waiting for something. The birth of what? A wave. And don't we always hope that that's going to be the perfect wave? We know our kid is going to be perfect. They're going to be gorgeous. They're going to be smart. They're going to be talented. See, that's what she's hoping for. She sits out on the board with a bunch of other people, and they stare at the horizon. And it's kind of nice because it's a form of meditation. But she's waiting for the birth. Boom. But the moment that wave pokes itself up from the ocean, see, the moment the baby is born, see, causes and conditions, this is karma, produce the child, produce you, produce the wave. But where does the wave come from? It comes up out of the ocean. It never leaves the ocean. It is identical to the ocean. The ocean is the wave, but the wave is not the ocean. This is the same thing for you. All of a sudden, here you are in the manifest world where the senses, see, can begin to relate, to interact. But you can never leave this Buddha Dharma, this mind only, however you want to say it. See, but you have, like the wave, you have direction and you have duration, and you can't slow it down, impermanent. So your egocentric mind, the mind that is fixed on you as a separate individual, living in an environment that's moving, that's potentially hostile, see, it can never make you safe. There is nothing that surfer can do to freeze that wave. That wave is rushing to the shore, inexorably rushing to the rocks, the sand. That wave is going to crash. See, it can never, never, never be held in a static position. Consequently, it is empty. There isn't anything fixed. There is just this great movement. Now, that can be terrifying if I experience it from a dualistic perspective. Hence, in samsara, the basic ground of samsara is fear. See, and out of that fear comes my anxiety, comes anger. Because no matter how hard you try to make yourself secure in the world of samsara, there is no security. And simply allow your thoughts to go out a little further, look out a little bit further around you, and look at the insanity of the world that you inhabit. See, and you can't deny, see, that that's your world. See, because it's what you are experiencing. Much as when the wave rises up, see, the wave, see, encompasses everything. Now the point with the wave isn't hung up in the duality. So the wave just has fun, it lets the surfers jump on it, they run, and everybody has a real good time. See, and this is the beauty of Buddha Dharma. If you learn how to surf this thing, see, what you do is you drop the self. This can be done, this has to be done. It has been done and demonstrated for 2,500 years and beyond. And when you do, then you don't experience your life. It isn't that you're going to grow wings, or you can go over to some mountain retreat, you do all of these kind of crazy things that you want to try, see, to experience enlightenment. See, you are the enlightened state, where you are as you are. That's the important point. Buddha Dharma isn't about acquiring something from somebody else. See, Buddha Dharma is about slipping free from the egocentric mind. If you can free yourself from your delusional thoughts, you're going to experience your life in a different way. Guaranteed. For the newcomers here, there are people in this room that know the truth of that statement. And how are you supposed to be living your life? Most of us live in a fairly agitated state, a state of insecurity, often anger, see, great disappointment, see, frustration, and clearly fear. Fear rides us. See, it's just like your shadow. It's there with you always. If you can penetrate through that barrier of the egocentric mind, which can be done, see, then the way you experience your being, you're in the same place, see, in this great movement of energy. But the basic ground of the mind that is awake is compassion. And out of that compassion, fearlessness. See, there is nothing outside of you. See, and at that point, no thought. You transcend, see, this level of birth and death. You then have moved into the unfettered mind, the space of freedom. And that's what the practice is about. And how should I enjoy my life at that point? Just like I said, your life should be rich. It should be fulfilling. The old masters say, if you can free yourself from this egocentric self, from this egocentric sense of separation, you will frolic joyfully, see, in a blissful state. So anyway, that's a brief introduction to the new people of what Buddha Dharma is. Don't think of thousands and thousands of rules and regulations and journals and rigid dogma. That's not what it is. It's coming out of your head, see, and only you can take care of that. Nobody else can do that for you. You run around looking for somebody to tap you on the forehead, and you pitch over on your back, and if you do that, you're playing a game with them. You're the only one, see, who can go through the transformation. You have to be sick, see, of the sickness before you can take those steps.